The following recording is from the previous cycle.
Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Kuf Samaches, and we will begin 8 lines from the top of daf Kuf Samaches Omer Aleph. So the Gemara picks up on the Mishnah on the bottom of daf Kuf Samach Zayin Omer Aleph onto daf Kuf Samach Zayin Omer Beis, which again is continuing to discuss some of the more technical aspects of shtaris. So we're learning Perek Get Pashut, that deals with the Get Pashut, Get Mekusher. It deals somewhat with the laws of Gittei Noshim, but not exclusively with the laws of Gittei Noshim. Even though the Perek is called Get Pashut, Tosfos right in the beginning of the Perek said that this is one of the places in Shas, one of the Mekoris, that the word Get is not unique to a divorce, but a document once upon a time was called a Get. Either way, the particular point that the Mishnah discussed, which the Gemara is going to pick up on, is when a shtar was written, whose responsibility was it to pay for the shtar? So for example, a get isha, the man is going to benefit from the get isha, the woman is going to benefit from the get isha. So who is it that's supposed to pay for it? The Mishnah said, it's the man that pays for the get isha. Shtar milva, a shtar chayv, the loiv is the one that pays for the shtar chayv. A shtar mecher, the lekeach, the buyer is the one that has to pay for the shtar mecher. Shtari erisin and shtari nesuyin, hachasan noisin schar. The chasan is the one that has to pay for it. If the shtar is one of arisus or kablonus, the makabel, the shearcropper, the tenant, he's the one that has to pay the fees. With regards to shtari berurim, there the Mishnah said it could be that even be two shtaris. We'll see more about that in the Gemara. So the theme that the Gemara is going to discuss in the first half of today's daf is whenever a shtar is written, a sefer is hired, there are fees associated with it, who is the responsible party? Who is the person that has to pick up on those fees? Now, one thing that's going to be clear from the Gemara is that in Svari, it would make sense that whoever is the primary beneficiary of this transaction, he's the one that should have to pick up the fees. So whoever we can deem as being the one who is primarily benefiting, for example, in a shtar milva, the loiva you would think is the one that's benefiting because he can't charge ribbis, so the malva can't be benefiting. The one that's benefiting would inevitably be the loiva. So it makes sense that the loiva should be the one that pays and not the malva. That is what the Gemara assumes. Stating that, we're going to go through each one of these individually. So pick up 8 lines from the top of Daf Kuf Samaches Amar Alfa, Baal Noisin Schar. So in a get isha, who pays for it? It's the husband that pays for it, not the wife. My time, says the Gemara. What's the reason? And what's the color behind the Gemara's question? My time, say the Rishonim. Because who benefits primarily from a get isha? It's the woman, not the man. Because if a man's in an unhealthy marriage, once upon a time, pre-chem d'Rabbeinu Gershon, he had an option. He could always marry another wife. If a woman wasn't in an unhealthy marriage, she was stuck. She didn't have the option to go ahead and marry somebody else. So it makes sense then, in a divorce, the woman is benefiting more than the man. So based on that, she should be the one that pays, not him. So says the Gemara, my time, why is it that the husband pays? Damakra, says the Gemara, it's based on the pasuk that says, v'kosav v'nosan. The pasuk says, v'kosav lo sefer krisus v'nosan biyodo. And being that v'nosan biyodo is referring to the man, v'kosav is referring to the man as well. So if the pasuk says clearly that the man is the one that has to write the get isha, if he's not writing it, but rather he's instructing a sofer to write it instead, at the very least, he'd have to be the one that pays for it. So based on the methodology of the primary beneficiary paying for it, it would make sense that the woman should pay for it. Stating that, the Torah says, v'kosav, and v'kosav is going on the husband. How do I know that? Because it says v'nosan, and v'nosan means the husband. So v'nosan means the husband, v'kosav means the husband, v'kosav, the Torah clearly is talking to the husband and saying, you husband, you need to write it. Oh, if you don't write it, at the very least, you have to pay for it. It says the Gemara, why is it that bizman hazeh, we don't do it that way? Today, if a woman gets divorced, the woman, her people, pick up the professional fees. It's not the husband. L'chura, it's a Mishnah, and it's based on a pasuk. So why is it that the woman picks it up? Says the Gemara, Shadyu Rabbana Na'isha Ki Heichi D'Loi V'Shit. The reason is very simple, Mishum Iguna, because if a woman wants a divorce and she's waiting for her husband to pay the sefer, for the sefer to agree to write the get, she may be sitting around for a while waiting for this get to be written. So for practical purposes, the Chachamim gave the woman good advice. They said, you know what, you pay for it. It's much smarter for you to do it that way, because if you'll pay for it, at the very least, you'll know you're going to get divorced. Because if you're going to sit around waiting for your husband to do it, it may in fact never happen. It's interesting. There's a Gemara Masechtas Gittin, Daf Chof Amar Aleph. Rav Chisda said, Yochilna lemifsalina lekuli gita da alma. If I want, I can disqualify every single get in the world. It's pretty intense, because if a get is not a good get and a woman gets married based on the get, that means she's really an Eishes Ish that got married. If he has children, the children are going to be mamzer. But Rav Chisda said that if I wanted, I'm such a balkishrin, yochilna lemifsalina lekuli gita da alma. Amalei Rava. So Rava told Rav Chisda, my timer, what's the reason? He says, oh, I know why. Is it because it says the kasav? Which means that the husband is the one that has to pay for the get. And we know that the minhag Yisrael is that a woman pays for the get, not the man. So it says the kasav, and she's paying for it. Maybe it's ma'akiv in the get, so that if the husband's not the one that paid for it, the get would in fact be possible. Maybe that's what you meant, Shver Leibet, because it was Rabbi Shver. Maybe that's what you meant when you said, Yochilno lemifsalinu lekuli gita da alma. But Rabbi said, if that's what you meant, Rav Chisda, I don't think you have a raya. Because Vidilma aknuya akne le rabbanon, says Rashi, maybe hefker bezen hefker. Meaning it's true that really me'ikrad, then the husband's the one that's supposed to pay for the get. But the Chachamim have a right to move money around. So maybe what the Chachamim did was, they said that the woman pays for it, but despite the fact that the woman pays for it, the husband gets credit for it. This is a good deal. As if he paid for it. So not only does the man not have to pay for it, the woman has to pay for it. But when the woman pays for it, it's considered, it's a man's world. As if the man is really the one that paid for it. Now, either Rabbanan have a right to do that. Hefker bez den hefker. So Rava told Rav Chisda, you can't prove from this halacha, that's our Mishnah right here, our Gemara, that every get is possible. Because it's true the woman's paying for it, but when the woman pays for it, maybe it's considered as if the man paid for it. El or Rav Chisda said, I'll tell you what the reason. Because a get was written on a piece of parchment that had no value. And being that it says v'kasa v'nasan, v'nasan implies that you have to give something chashuv, something that has some value, something that has no shavius. And apparently the piece of paper that the get was written on didn't even have the value of a Shavapruta. So maybe it's for that reason, Rava said, you Rav Chisda think that every get is possible. Because maybe there's a chesaron in the shadius, the value of the piece of paper. And being that it says Vanasa, Vanasan suggests that the get has to be worth something. By the way, there's an important Taisu, we've spoken about this Taisu in the past. Taisu says, that's true. Every time it says in the Torah Vanasan, it implies that the thing that you're giving has to have value. One of Tosfos Maror Mekoyimis is the mitzvah of truma. By truma, it says clearly in the Torah that you have to give truma, titein loy. Titein loy. The Torah says you have to give truma, and we know chita achas by teres hasakri. One strand, one grain of wheat could pater an entire kri with truma. Meiser has a shear, 10%. Truma midei raisa doesn't have a shear. Chita achas, one little chita. What if that chita is worth less than a shavu pruta? The assumption is a chita probably was worth less than a shavu pruta. And still you can use that as your truma. And even though the Torah says you have to give truma, you see that despite the fact that Torah uses the lashon v'nasan, it doesn't necessarily mean that the thing has to have value. So mechitesi should have to have value when it comes to gittin as well. The obvious sushal to that is the famous truva of the Nei Behuda, where the Nei Behuda said there's two dinim in truma, there's the hafrashas truma, there's the giving of the truma. And even though Chazal said chita achas peiteres as a kri, it just means that if you want to take the kri and convert it from tevel to truma, a chita achas works. But it's true, if you want to be mekayim the mitzvah of the nasan, maybe for that you would need more than a chita achas. This Tosfos is an obvious tzushtel to that Nei Deb Yehuda. But either way, that's the discussion in the Gemara. So as it relates to our Gemara, this was a havamina in Rava's understanding of Rav Chisda, what Rav Chisda might have meant when he said, Yochilna lemifsalinu lekuli gita da'alma. Just one other ha'ara that comes to mind with regards to this Gemara as it relates to Masechtas Gittin is two Tosfos in Gittin. Gittin daf chav beis amid beis and Gittin daf tes amid beis. The Mishnah over there says, Akol k'sher l'chtav es haget, afilu cheresh shoyt v'katin. Everyone's kosher to write a get. Even a cheresh, a shoyta and a katan. Right, the Gemara, a cheresh, shoyta, a katan, to write a get. V'la b'nei deninu, says Rashi, v'la yadu lichtev l'shma. A get has to be written l'shma. And if a get has to be written l'shma, even if the katan could write, even if the cheresh and the shoyta could write, but it has to be written l'shma. And if it's not written l'shma, it's going to be puzzle. And a katan is not a bardas. A katan doesn't have the ability, doesn't have the capacity to think l'shma. So if you can't think l'shma, how could he write a get? Says the Gemara, v'usha yagadol oimit al gabim. It's true. We're not talking about a katan who's sitting by himself. We're talking about a katan that has a gadol next to him. There's a gadol oimid al gabov. The gadol oimid al gabov can make it as if it was written l'shma. Tosfos asks Kasha, this katan right here that's divorcing his wife, is this Katan that's writing the get, is he writing a get to divorce his own wife? No. How do we know that? Katan can't divorce his wife. He's too young to get divorced. And even though we spoke out last week, Katan part two, we had three hechetimtzas where it's possible for a Katan to be married, even midairaisa. Katan who's 9 years old that does yibum, the Ribar Barzeli, that a father can be mekadosh his son, kiddushei Torah, because of zachal ladam shalei b'fanav, and then the Meiser Rekeach that said that according to the Rambam, that a Katan that's higia l'chal shanim, he's 13 years old, higia l'chal simanim, he doesn't have two sires yet, he's a mufla sabach lish, he has a din gadol with regards to certain areas, one of those areas, he learned it up in the Rambam, Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, Nilcha Saita, is that he could get married, but he still can't get divorced. So when the Mishnah says that a Katan is writing a get, he's obviously writing again for who? For somebody else. He's not writing it for himself. If that's the case, then why do we need a reason of Alab Nei Deinenu to tell me that a Katan can't write again? Typically, Alab Nei Shlichas Ninu, a Katan can't be a Shliach. We're not talking about a Katan who's divorcing his own wife, because again, a Katan can't divorce his own wife. Elamai, we're talking about a Katan who's divorcing somebody else's wife. If he's divorcing somebody else's wife, that means somebody appointed him as a Shliach. The problem is, he's not a Bar Shliach. And Tosfos says, a phenomenal yisoid, something that's very important when you learn Masechtas Gittin, and that is the loy be'inon shlichus b'ksiva. You don't need shlichus when it comes to ksiva. The v'kosav lava balkoi, ela asoifer. When it says v'kosav v'nosan, the v'kosav is not talking about the husband. The v'kosav is talking to the soifer, whoever's going to write the get. Meaning when you sit down and you read the pasuk, v'kosav lo seifer krisus v'nosav v'yoda. V'kosav, the husband should write the get. V'nosan, and then he should give it to his wife. Says Tosfos, no, you made a mistake. V'kosav wasn't talking to the husband. V'kosav, whoever's going to write it. Who writes it? Soifer, whatever. Whoever's going to write it. V'nosan, that's already talking to the husband. But being that the Torah never said that the husband has to write the get, if he wants somebody else to do it on his behalf, it doesn't have to work with the parish of Shlichos. Now, Tosfos says that's partial. If a random person goes and he writes a get without having been instructed by the husband to do it, that get's not going to be a kosher get. Because being that the husband is the one who's getting divorced, and it has to be written l'shma for this husband, so a random person wouldn't have the ability to go write a get. But in terms of Shlichos, the chiddush of Shluchai Shal Adam Kamoisai, that's something you don't have by Gerushin. I think a little bit of a ha'ara is this Gemara right here. Because what do you see in this Gemara? The Gemara said that who has to pay for the get? The husband. Why? Because it says V'kasav. Now if V'kasav is talking to the husband, then it makes a lot of sense. The Torah says V'kasav, we're talking to the husband. You're talking to the husband, so I get it. I get it, why then you have a raya that the husband is the one that has to pay for it as well. But if Tosfos said in Gittin Chav Beis Amud Beis, that when it says V'kasav, we're not necessarily talking to the husband, you're talking to the soifer. So where exactly do you have any proof from V'kasav that the husband has to pay for it? V'kasav is the soifer. Who pays for the soifer? I have no idea. Maybe the husband, maybe the woman. I think it's a little bit of a ha'or. There's another Tosfos Gittin Daf Tes Amud Beis, but we're learning Bava Bas, we're not learning Gittin. Either way, on that note, Zok Tegumar Vayta. Kosfin Shtadl Loiva. Afal pi she'en malve imoy v'chulu. We need the v'chulu because the Gemara is going on not what it just said, but on the v'chulu part, on the part that it didn't say, which is that the loiva is the one that pays for the shtar chayv. Faith Gemara pshita. It's obvious. Why is it obvious? Because who benefits? The loiva. Again, maybe the malva is benefiting. Maybe he's charged 10%. He's getting a nice return on his money. You're not allowed to charge 10% because that's called ribbis. Says the Gemara leitzricha be'iska. We're talking about where it wasn't a regular loan. It was an iska. An iska is different. Why is an iska different? In the case of the iska, not only is the person taking the money going to benefit, but the person giving the money is going to benefit as well, right? The iska was the palga milva, palga pekadin. It was a way for two people to go into business together, bypass issues of ribbis, etc., etc., for both of them to be able to get money. So we're talking not about a loan, we're talking about a iska. In the case of an iska, it makes sense at the very least to think that the malva, the one that's giving the money, should be the one that pays. Kamashmalan, no. That even in the case of an iska, even then, the loiva is going to be the one that pays. And choose a very big chiddush, because an iska is really only a palga milva, palga pekadin. So I understand why he should have to pick up the fees for the palga milva part. What about the palga pekadin part? Why is he picking up the fees for that? But either way, that's the halacha of iska. What about a heter iska? What if it was a loan with a heter iska? What would be the halacha over there? What if it's a traditional loan? And this is a little bit of a trick question. If you had a regular loan, Reuven loans Shimon $1,000. Wasn't an iska. It was a loan. Loaning you $1,000, I'm going to charge you 10% interest. You're not allowed to charge interest, so we're going to make a heter iska. Who would pick up the fees? Meaning, would it be deemed as a loan, or would it be deemed as an iska? Now, the Gemara said, regardless, whether it's a loan or whether it's an iska, the loiv is always the one that picks up the fees. But I just want to bring out a point. How would you view that? Would you view that as a loan, where it's pshita to the Gemara? Or would you view it as a iska, where it's not so pshita to the Gemara? What's the answer? The answer is, of course, you'd have to view it as an iska. Because remember, heter iska is not some hocus pocus. Heter iska is not, it's a loan, we're going to call it an iska, so that despite the fact that it's a loan, I can charge you interest. If it's a loan, I can't charge you interest. The reason heter iska works is because you're structuring what appears to be a loan really as an iska. It's really an iska. I have 900 pages of loan documents, which clearly state that it's a loan. It's Rav Moshe and his famous Tshuva in Yeridei Chelek Beis, Simon Samach Beis. We spoke this out at Lent. It's going to be a raid by one of these days. We spoke this out at Lent, the heter iska, that even though the documents suggest that this is a loan, really it's an iska. And that one little piece of paper that your Rav emailed to you, Bein Astarim, that you printed out and you found your two chavrusas and they signed on Eden, trumps the 900 pages of loan documents that your lawyers charge you $100,000 to prepare. That's the way it works. That's a fact. And it's not mashma that way. Kachaza. And Rav Moshe talks about it in his tshuva, meaning the reason you can lend money with a heter iska is because essentially what you're doing is you're saying it's not a loan. Really, it's an iska. If it was a loan, you wouldn't be able to do it. It's an iska. It looks like a loan. It smells like a loan. It talks like a loan. It doesn't matter. There's that one piece of paper that says that this is all a tais. How does that make sense? You have to listen to the rabbi. But the point is that we spoke about this when we learned Perek Ezer and Neshach. Bottom line, says the Gemara, the chiddush of listening to the loiva paying is that even in an iska, or in a case of a heter iska, where the malv is benefiting as well, still there, the halacha is that the loiva is the one that has to pay. In the case of a shtar mecher, who pays for the shtar? The lekech is the one that pays for the pshtar. Says Mar Pshita. Why is it pashit? Says the Rashbam, because you find in many places in Chazal that anytime somebody sold something, the understanding always was that the buyer was getting the better end of the deal. Chazal always viewed selling as if something you did if you were desperate for money. So otherwise you wouldn't sell. Why would you sell? You only sell because you need it. Now if a guy has like a geschäft, he has a business, he sells. That's how he earns a living. But other than that, if you're selling a personal possession, why would you sell a personal possession? Presumably because it's something that you need to do. So says the Gemara Pshita, the Lekeach gets the possession. The Meicher sold the possession. Who benefited the Lekeach? So the Gemara, what if you have a bad field? What if you have a field where you have to pay a lot of taxes? There's reasons that a field can be a bad field. So, Solkadai Techamina, maybe over there the Meicher is the one that benefits. Kamash Malan, then no, it's always considered to be the Lekeach, the one that's benefiting. Just one Gemara that brings out this point, and that is. Omer Rab Zeira Vitem Rab Chanina, Gemara Brachas Tavheim and Aleph. Boyu Re'e Shalai Kamidas HaKadosh Baruch Midas Basav Adam. Midas Basav Adam. Adam Meicher Chavetz L'Chaveir. When somebody sells a Chavetz to his friend, Meicher Otsev, the Meicher Zungazetz, but like, Keach Sameach, and like, Keach is happy. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu Inakim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not that way. Nasan Lem Torah Yisrael, V'Sameach, Hashem sold the Torah to Klal Yisrael. Ever realize Hashem sold you the Torah? But he gave it to us. But Hashem sold the Torah to Klal Yisrael, and he's happy about it. Shenema ki lekach toiv. Lekach, it's a mekach. Nasati lechem toirasi al tazayvu. But what's usually, midas basav adam, moicher atzev lekeach sameach. That's the way it usually is. It plays itself out in halacha. It's for that reason that lekeach is the one that has to pay for the shtar mecher, because whoever's considered to be the one that's benefiting, he's the one that pays. And the chiddush is that even if you're a mecher sadeu mepnei ra'asa, even there, that's going to be the halacha. In kais v'shtarei erusin, and again, we need the v'chulu part. What was the v'chulu? The chasen is the one that pays for the shtar erus. Pshita, le'itzricha da'filu tzobim mirabonon dinichalei l'chamu l'grevei. The chiddush is that even if this chasen, it's such a qualified chassan. He's the perfect Adam. He's the perfect son-in-law. And he's marrying. He's a Talmud Chacham. And the Shver is so proud to introduce him to all his friends and to bring him into shul, etc. So you would have thought that in that case, maybe the Shver is the one that should have to pay. Chiddush is the chassan is always the one that pays. In Kaisvin, Shtar Arisus, Vika Blonus. So who pays for the Shtar Arisus, not Erisin, Shtar Arisus and Kablonus, the Loch is the Oris, the tenant, the sharecropper. Pshita, Leitzricha, Babura. Chiddush is, if you look at the Rashbam, even if you have a field with a tenant knows he's not going to make money for a couple of years. So a few years he's not going to make money. Now, obviously at some point he thinks he's going to make money. But initially he doesn't think he's going to make money. So I would have thought that maybe in this case it's not so obvious that he should be the one that has to pay. That's what the Mishnah says. Even in that case he has to pay. In Kais Mishtari Beirurin, Eli Midashnet. Mishnah said another Allah. Shtari Beirurin, you only write Midashnet. What is Shtari Beirurin? My Shtari Beirurin, Hachet, Agim, Shtari Tanasa. It's the Shtaris that had the Tainas of the respective Balei Davar. So if two people are in court together, each person would state his argument. The court had a stenographer. They would sit down and they would write the tainas of each one of these respective parties. So the shtaris that had those tainas written in it, those are the shtari tanos. By the way, that's the title of the third parak of Masechta Sanhedrin. Will be there very shortly. Very geshmak parak. So it's referring to the zeh boirer v'zeh boirer. When two people would come to Bezdin, dinei mabanas b'shloisha. So how would you choose the three dayanim? Each one of the parties had the right to pick one of the dayanim, v'shneim boir lemechad, and the two together would pick the third one. So the zeh boir layechad, the zeh boir layechad, the names of those dayanim were written down on a piece of paper. Those are the shtarei beirurim. Those are the shtarei beirurim that the Mishnah is referring to. So the Mishnah said that there was one shtar beirurim, and it had to be written midash shneim. Shumim gamliel loymer l'shneim koisvin. They used to write two. Shneim lozeh ba'at, shneim lozeh ba'at, lozeh ba'atzme. Each one of the two, Balei Davar, would have his own shtar bir. Says the Gemara, what's this machloikis? It sounds like in the Mishnah there's a machloikis, whether there was one of the shtari berurim or two of the shtari berurim. Says the Gemara, according to the first pshat in what shtari berurim is, and that shtari tanasa, where each person has his tainas, his arguments, written down. It could be, you could explain this machloikis as if it's taloi in an age-old machloikis. Lema b'koifin al midas sedoim komifli. The mar savar koifin, umar savar en koifin. Now what does that have to do with koifin al midas sedoim? So the Rashbam explains as follows. The Rashbam says that presumably the only reason Reb Shimon Gamliel would say, L'shneim koisvin, that you would write two shtaris, is because being that they're both paying for it, each one of these two Balei Davar had to pay for the shtar, one of the Balei Davar can have an argument, and he could say that I don't want to pay for something that I'm going to share with my friend. Meaning, I'm willing to pay for it if I keep it. And if you want it, you pay for it. But for me to pay for your thing, it's not something I'm interested in doing. I'm not interested. Now, am I losing anything by paying for it and you being able to benefit from it? No, I'm not losing anything. It's zen enevez alei chaser. If Rav Shimon Gamliel said that if a person comes into Beis Din and he says, listen, I'm willing to pay, but I don't want to pay for your thing. I'll pay for mine and you pay for yours. Let's keep this simple. And the halach is l'shneim koisvin. We listen to him. We say, you're right. Two shtaris. Ruvein, you pay for yours. Shimon, you pay for yours. You know what that means? Ein koifin al midas tayim. That means that even though what this person is arguing is midas tayim, why is it midas tayim? Because it's zenene v'zalei chaser. Why is Ruvein losing if Shimon doesn't have to write his own shtar berurim? You have to have a shtar berurim. I'm paying for it anyways. Let's just have it on my piece of paper. Not just that. You don't even have to pay for the whole thing. Just pay for half. There's definitely a loy chaser over here. Still, what's the halacha? The halacha is that we listen to him. L'shnayim kaisen. So Shimon Gamliel must hold that in kaisen al midastayim. If that's the case, maybe that's pshat in the chachamim. The chachamim say no. The chachamim say it's never two. And if they both want to, that's one thing. But if any one of the two parties say that I don't want to have to pay for my own shtar berurin, I'd rather chip in with you and let's have one, we're going to listen to me. And the reason we're going to listen is because kaifin on me this time. So says the Gemara that this machloik is tucked away in a Mishnah. In Bava Basar Kuf Samach Zayin, could be as totally in the sugis of Zenen of Ezalei Chaser, in the sugis of Kaif and Ami the Stein. Reb Shimon Gamliel that said that a person has a Kaif HaTayimet to say, I want my own star, I don't want you to share my star with me. He obviously holds in Kaif and Ami the Stein. Whereas the Tanakam and the Chachamim and the Mishnah seem to hold that Kaif and Ami the Stein, but the Gemara says, like, the Kuli Alma could be everybody holds Kaif and maybe everybody holds Kaif and Ami the Stein. Vach, in the time of Reb Shimon Gamliel, if Kaif and Ami the Stein, then and the person comes in and the person says, I want two shtaris. Why are we listening to him? Why are we writing two shtaris? Damalei, because this is not midas toim. Midas toim was zenene v'zeh loichaser. This is not zenene v'zeh loichaser. This is zenene v'zeh chaser. Because if we're going to have one shtar that has both parties' arguments, again, Reuven and Shimon, they're in a din Torah. They're fighting like cats and dogs. They want to rip each other apart. and they have lawyers and arguments and opening remarks and closing remarks, and you have the court stenographers, they're transcribing everything. And now they're going to give you shtari berur. This is going to be a document. It's going to be 100 pages long, and inside the document, you're going to have everybody's tainus. And there's two options here. Either Reuven can get his tainus, and Shimon can get his tainus. I'll have my arguments, you'll have your arguments. Or we're going to draft one shtar that's going to have everybody's documents. Says the Gemara, says Rav Shimon Gamliel, this is not Zenen of Zalei Chaser. I can taina, I don't want you to have my arguments. Because if you have my arguments, you're going to sit there, you're going to harv over it, and it's going to end up biting me at some point. It's going to come back to get me. So I don't want it. So it's true, Kaifen al Midastoyim. But Midastoyim is where it's Zen Nehenne Vizel Loi Chaser. Where you're going to use, you're going to sit on my chair. I don't let you sit in my chair. Maybe that would be an example of Kaifen al Midastoyim, because I'm not losing anything by you sitting in my chair. It's a Zen Nehenne, you're sitting on my chair. Vizel Loi Chaser, I'm not losing anything. But over here it's Zen Nehenne Vizel Chaser. Because if we're going to share this document, we're both going to have access to both of each other's tainus, I could always say that I don't trust you. Because Loi Nichalit Tahavi Schusech Gabi Schusi, the Domes Aloi Ki Ari Arba. You're coming to pounce on me. I don't want you anywhere near my arguments. So it's Zen Nehenne Vizel Chaser. Could be it has nothing to do with the Machloikis of Kaifen al Midastoyim. There's one nice Rashbam here, where the Rashbam says that this is actually not just a case of Kaifen al Midastoyim that you find in the Gemara, but this is the example of Midastoyim that you find in the Mishnah. Where does Midastoyim come up in the Mishnah? It's a Mishnah in Ovis. Ha'imah shali shali and shalach shalach zu midah beninis v'yeshoyrim. Some say zu Midastoyim shali shali v'shalach shalach. Why is it Midastoyim? So the truth is, if you look in the Mefarshei Mishnah, they're a little bothered by it. Shali, shali, v'shalach, shalach is Midastoyim. Mine is mine and yours is yours. Midastoyim is Zenen of Zalei Chaser. That's always when you think of Midastoyim. It's a Zenen of Zalei Chaser. Why is that necessarily? But the answer is, the Rav says it, and the Mefarshei Mishnah say, because even though that in and of itself is not Midastoyim perhaps, but it's going to lead to Midastoyim. When a person sets draws a line in the sand. What's mine is mine, and what's yours is yours. Whether it's Zenene v'zechaser, or it's Zenene v'zeloichaser, the Shali Shali v'shalach shalach attitude means what's mine is mine, and what's yours is yours. That's a very slippery slope that can very easily take you, even though it's not inherently perhaps Midastoyim, but it's definitely something that can very easily take you to Midastoyim. By the way, when you think of Stoyim, right, what do you think of? They don't want to get stuck with. That was always the punchline of Stein. They yad oni ve'evyon lo yechzik. It's a pasuk in Yecheskel. That was really all the chazals that talk about if somebody gets stuck, they were very upset at them. Where did Zen Nen of Zalei Chaser fall into Midas Stein? Right, Zen Nen of Zalei Chaser is where there's no chaser. Stein, there was no chaser. I think Stein, there was a chaser. Tztaka, you're a chaser. Anytime you give tztaka, hamavaz v'zal yavaz v'zayis v'chaymish. Why shani yitzarech l'briyas? So we spoke out. It's true. Tztaka, whatever you give, comes back. Asa b'shvil shet esasher. Okay, you can't blame Stein for not locking into that idea of asa b'shvil shet esasher. Besides, I don't even know if it applied to Stein. So why are we assuming always that Stein was a zen nene v'zal yichaser? Where do you find me the Stein in Shas? Zen nene v'zal yichaser. That's always me the Stein. Was that Stein? Stein was Zen Nene v'zal yichaser? Stein didn't want to give tztaka. How do you know Stein didn't want to help people even where it was a Zen Nene v'zal yichaser? So it's interesting. If you look at the Rav Bartanur, the Rav Bartanur says that the people of Stein had so much. Stein had a booming economy. It was the perfect place in the world. They had everything. And for them to have given a little bit away, we really wouldn't have affected them. So from Stein's perspective, there really was an element of Zen and of Zalei Chaser. So when you talk about Stein, the storyline of Stein, just an important ingredient, important part of the rest of the story of Stein, is appreciating how good it was in Stein. Stein wasn't just a random city where you had a bunch of karge chevra. It was a little more than that. This was a booming economy where everyone had so much. Yet, if somebody walked in from the outside, they refused to share with them. That's Midas Stein, and you could see why the Chachamim used that as the paradigm for someone that doesn't want to help someone, even where it's a Zen Nene v'zalei chaser, because that was the spirit of what Stein was all about. Either way, Zok the Mishnah Vayit. Mishnah Parah Mixas Chayvay. And after learning three Bavis, this Mishnah will probably sound somewhat familiar. Somebody that paid up Mixas Chayvay. So Reuven loaned Shimon $1,000. Shimon pays Reuven back $500. So right now, at this point, there's really two things we could do. Presumably, Shimon doesn't want a Shtar Chayv sitting there saying that he owes Reuven $1,000 if he's since paid him $500. So either we can rip up the shtar chayv, write a new shtar chayv for $500, or you can have the infamous shayver receipt. The receipt will accomplish the same thing. But these two, Bali Dover, the Malva, the Leva, they decided they had a third option. There was a third person that they trusted. And they said, instead of ripping up the shtar, getting involved in shayver, some people holding kaisvin shayver, what we're going to do is we're going to take the shtar chayv, we're going to give it to this third person that we trust, and we're going to tell him that Shimon really paid up half this chayv, so that he'll be holding it. Not the Malva, I don't trust the Malva. But if this third person holds it, he's somebody that I do trust, so that push comes to shove, I won't have to pay the full $1,000 again, says the Leiva. I'll only have to pay $500. But he added one caveat. Misha, part of Mixes Chayv, he paid a chelik of his chayv, the Hishlis Eshtar, and now he gave the shtar to a shlish, to a third person. And he told him, if I don't pay up this chayv, 30 days or 6 months or a year, whatever your employee was, then you can give the Malva back the shtar, and I don't have a problem with him collecting the entire shtar. Now, this is obviously a ribbis issue, but basically he says that I'm so confident that I'm going to pay this chayf, just watch it for the next 30 days. You see, in the next 30 days, I'm going to pay up the chayf. Yigiyas, man, what happened? The loyd nosan, and he didn't pay. Rabbi Yossi emir yite. Rabbi Yossi says, pay up. You're going to have to pay. You said clearly that if you don't pay up by a certain day, you're gonna pay the entire $1,000 all over again. You didn't pay the $1,000. Rabbi Yudaimer lo yite. But my comment, forget what's the machlekes. Rabbi Yosi sav. Rabbi Yosi holds asmach the kanya. Rabbi Yehuda sav. Rabbi Yehuda holds asmach the loykan. Let's see the Rashbam inside. What does asmach mean? The second wide line on the bottom. Hamaftiach lechaveiroi dover. If somebody promises something to his friend, al menas sheyase dover laasim, and he makes it contingent upon something that he's going to do in the future. V'soymech belibay b'shas atnai, and when he makes the tanai in his mind, he thinks sheyuchal lekayim adover k'sheyigiasma, that he'll be able to fulfill what he said he was going to fulfill. Ukishigiasma nyanas for yuchal. And then what happens? The time came and he couldn't do what he wanted to do. So Reuven tells Shimon, I'll give you something in the event that I do this or I don't do that. Like in this case, if I don't pay up the chayv within the next 30 days, I'll pay you the full amount despite the fact I already paid up mitzvah chayv. So that's an asmachta, where I'm obligating myself to do something. There's a concept of eschayvus. I'm obligating myself to do something, but I'm not just obligating myself to do it unequivocally. I'm saying, in the event that I do something, I don't do something, in the event that I don't pay up the rest of the chayv, then I'll be mechayv myself to pay you even when I don't owe you. I don't owe you what I already paid you. I'll be mechayv myself to give you that anyways. So Rabbi Yossi holds asmachta kanya. Then when a person makes an asmachta kanya, so being that asmachta is kanya, he was mechayv himself, even though he was mechayv himself only in the event of, it doesn't matter. In the event of, this still is chayvus. Asmachta kanya. Rabbi Yudasav, asmachta loy kanya. Asmachta is not. What's the shayla? Shayla is there a kemiras das or not? Do we assume that you had das or did you not have das? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabbi Baravua, Amar Rav, halacha k'Rabbi Yosi. The halacha is like Rabbi Yosi that asmachta kanya. Truth is, the halacha is always like Rabbi Yosi. He also, the kamid Rav Ami, Amar Luvik, miyach, Rabbi Yechon, Amalam Deinu, Pam, Yishoyna, Vashni, halacha, Rabbi Yosi, Anim Anasa. When the shayla was brought to Rav Ami used to say the same thing. I heard from Rabbi Yechon once, I heard it twice. I heard that he passed like Rabbi Yosi, that asmachta kanya. So, what do you want me to tell you? Asmachta is going to be kanya. However, stating that, what's the halacha? Ain't halacha, Rabbi Yosi. The halacha is not like Rabbi Yosi. And Rashbam speaks out that even though throughout Shas, Rabbi Yosi is the mukayimoy, the halacha is always like Rabbi Yosi. This is an exception to the rule. Over here, the halacha is not going to be like Rabbi Yosi. Meaning, we don't paskin that asmachta kanya. What we paskin is that asmachta is loy kanya. So asmachta is not kanya. Asmachta is loy kanya. One interesting place, and we're going to get into this soon. This is one of the sugyas that you learned in the beginning of Sanhedrin. One interesting place where asmachta comes up is mesachik kukufia. Are you allowed to gamble? Can you wage a bet? Whether it's a sporting event or maybe some other thing you shouldn't be busy with. But could you be mesachik bekuvya or could you not be mesachik bekuvya? So the Mishnah says a mesachik bekuvya is possible. Why? Why is a mesachik bekuvya possible? Maika of Amar Pechama Mishum the Haba Asmachta the Asmachta Leikanya. Rami Pechama said it's because it's an Asmachta and Asmachta is Leikanya. Meaning, when I tell you that if this team wins, I'm going to give you $1,000. So I only made the bet because I thought that that team was going to lose. If I thought it was going to win, I wouldn't have made the bet. So I only made it based on what I thought was going to happen. That's an asmachta. So if asmachta is like kanya, so when I give it to you, we assume I never gave it to you with real das. If I never gave it to you with real das, from your perspective, you're a gazlan. If you're a gazlan, you're posoledos, because a gazlan's posoledos. So Rami Bar Choma said, you know why a mesachik bekuvya is posoledos? Because every mesachik bekuvya, when Reuven loses his bet, he gives the money to Shimon. He's not really giving it to him with das, because he wagered the bet at a time that he thought the events were going to play themselves out differently. And lo and behold, to his utter shock, the team that he thought was going to win lost. What happens, right? So the point is that he didn't give it to Midas. So from the person who got the money's perspective, as I grew up a gazlan. And if he's a gazlan, the male is going to be posoledos. It says, Rami Bar Chama, you know why a mesachik bekuvya is posoledos? It's back in the envelope arithmetic. He's a gazlan, because asmachta is leikanya. But here the Gemara says, Rav Sheshi Somer, kol ki agav nolav asmachti. This is not an asmacht. Ella, why is the mesachik bekuvya posoledos? Because he's not oisik b'yeshuvah shel olam. Because gambling is addictive, and once people get involved in addictions, it can mess their lives up to the point that they're not oisik b'yeshuvah shel olam. And it's for that reason he's going to be posoledos. Because in order to be an aid, you have to be somewhat shayach to understand the business transactions, and addictive gamblers tend not to be that way. So the bottom line is a machlokes in the Gemara whether the reason of Mesachik bekuvya is posoledos because asmachta lekanya, or is it because it's any oisik b'yeshuvah shel olam? If you look at the Rishonim, besides for the Shitas HaRambam, which we'll talk about in Yetz Hashem when we learn Sanhedrin Chav Dalet, but besides for the Shitas HaRambam, the Rishonim say that what's the halacha? What's the reason that Mesachik bekuvya is posoledos? It's because it's any oisik b'yeshuvah shel olam. Shtel tzich the fraga, we just learned the Gemara, ain halacha k'Rabbi Yosi, we paskin asmachta lekanya. So based on that, the reason Mesachik bekuvya should be posoledos is like Rami Bar Chama said. Because asmachta loikanya, not because of some more esoteric reason, because he's not oisik b'yeshuvah shel olam. It's more poshut, because he's a gazlan. What's the difference between a regular gazlan or a mesachik bekuvya who's a gazlan? Because asmachta loikanya. The teretz is, and it's really what the Gemara says, there's a difference between Rabbi Yossi's asmachta loikanya, our Mishnah that we just learned, and that Gemara within Mesachta Sanhedrin. What's the difference? The difference is that in our Mishnah, you obligated yourself to give somebody money contingent upon something happening in the event of. The thing, the trigger, is something that you could control. If I don't pay my chayv in 30 days, I'll owe the $500 that I already paid. You control whether you give him that $500. Being that it's something that's in your control, over there, it could be asmachlikan. But we're the bet, in the case of Mesach HaBekuvya, where you made a bet about a professional sports team. If this team wins, I owe you the money. If this team loses, as much as you may think you can control what happens to your favorite team, you can't. It's something that's completely out of your control. If it's completely out of your control, you cannot control the trigger of the asmachta. It could be over there that Allah is going to be that asmachta kanya. So when is it that asmachta loy kanya? That's when it's in your control. Where it's something that's out of your control over there, asmachta loy kanya. And the svar is very simple. Because if I control it, I really thought I was going to do it. Therefore, asmachta loy kanya. But if I can't control it, you can't say you really thought that this team was going to win. Better be careful there. You can't, because that's something you can't control. You have absolutely no control over it. To mean that you have no control over it, it could be over there that Allah is going to be asmachta kanya, right? The whole yisoid of asmachta kanya was, I thought I was going to pay. I told it to you, stam geret. I thought I was going to pay. So if it's something you can control, it's a shtekel ataina. But if, so therefore, asmachta kanya, we don't pass like Rabbi Yossi. But if it's something that's anyways out of your control, you can't tell me you really, 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 really thought this team was going to. If you don't control it, it's a chasarin in the whole svara of asmachta, and it could be therefore, even though really we paskin asmachta leikanya, over here the halacha is going to be asmachta kanya. Zok the Mishnah weiter. Misha nimchak shtar chayv. So this Mishnah begins with a shtar chayv. Reuven loaned Shimon $1,000, and the shtar has since gotten ruined. It was destroyed. It's machlok. It was all erased. Right? With time, b'meshach hazman, the shtar doesn't look good anymore. And the malva is not happy about that. So he takes Edom, he brings them to Bezdin, and these Edom are going to tell Bezdin what was written in that shtar chayv. What he wants is a new shtar to be written, so that he can collect from the loiva when the due date comes. He should be able to collect from the nechasim mishubadim. That's one of the rights you have when you have a shtar chayv. So says the Mishnah, Mishnah nimchak shtar chayv by someone whose shtar chayv was erased. May midolov edim. He can bring edim. Ubalufnei bezdin. They can go to bezdin. Va'usin lekiyum, and they can make a new shtar. They'll say, Ish Pliny ben Pliny, Nimchak Shtar ben Pliny. The Edom are going to tell Bezdin that there was a star. The star was erased behind Pliny. U Pliny Edom. And I even know who the Edom are. Tana Rabbanan. The Rice elaborates a little bit on this halach. More detail, but Moisef Tlas Avino, the Kiyum would say something like this. The new star that Bezdin's writing. We were sitting together, three Dayanim. Anu, Pliny, U Pliny, U Pliny. So Pliny, U Pliny, U Pliny are the three Dayanim that presided over this new shtar that's being written. Someone pulled out a malva, a shtar, that was machuk. It was written, the shtar, or the loan took place on Yom Pliny. And he told a lot of Plinys there. And he told us who the two Edom were. If the shtar said, if Bezdin was able to not just verify, based on what these Edom told him, that this shtar was legitimate, that this shtar machuk really said that Reuven loaned Shimon $1,000, but they were also able to verify the signatures. Because remember, if somebody pulls out a shtar that says somebody owes somebody money, it's worthless unless you do kiyum shtaris. You have to verify the chasimis. So Bezdin was able to not just verify the shtar, but they were also able to verify the chasimis. Then they would write a new shtar, vein tzarech lavi raya, you're good to go. Vein lav, if they couldn't verify it, tzarech lavi raya. Nikra, what if the shtar was torn? Pasul. Niskara, if the shtar was torn, kasha. So if it was torn, it's pasul. If it was torn, it's kasher. The difference is one says nikra, one says niskara. We'll see what that means in a second. Nimchak, what if it was erased? Or netashdesh, or it's smudged a little bit? Imrishumei nikra, if you could still see what's written underneath the kasher. So just because it's a little, that doesn't bother me. As long as it's rishumei nikra, you can tell what's written underneath it, it's fine. Heichidami nikra, heichidami niskara. What's the difference between nikra and niskara? And again, nikra is kasher, niskara is pasul. What's the difference between the two things? Amar Yehuda, nikra keresh al bezdin. Niskara keresh initial bezin. Nikra is when it's obvious that bezin is always shredded. Right? You walk in with a piece of paper, it's shredded, and he says, listen, my star got shredded. And it's obvious that bezin is the one that did it. So we're not going to rewrite it. Edom can stand on their head. There's nothing to talk about. If it's obvious that bezin is the one that tore this star, we're not going to rewrite it. Even though there's Edom that are testifying and then telling us what was written in the star. It's only if it was niskara, which is keresh initial bezin, it was ripped, but not by Bezdin per se, then we assume that it just happened, and then we'll rewrite. Heichidami says the Gemara, Keresh al Bezdin. So, okay, more specifically, what's an example of Keresh al Bezdin? I remember Yehuda Mokam Edim, Umokam Asman, Umokam Atar. If it was torn in the place where you have the primary, the ikra parts of the shtar, that's considered, because that's what Bezdin used to tear it up. Ayam Ashesti Ve'erif, they would, like a cross, Ashesti Ve'erif. Hani Arvoi, the Asul of Pimpadisa, there were two, or there were Arabs that came to Pimpadisa, that would unsee Arabs of the Inchi. They would take away lands from people, not just that. These guys were smart. So they wouldn't just take the land, they would demand the shtar chayv, the shtar mecher as well. So they'd go over to Reuven, they'd take his property. Reuven had a shtar probably, title somewhere that proved that this was his. They would say, I want the shtar mecher that says that this is yours. Because they didn't want later, one day, they'll come up with the shtar mecher and prove that it really belonged to them. So they weren't just taking the land, they were taking the shtar as well. That's the important part for this Gemara. So the owners of these fields came to Abaya. They told Abaya, I have an idea. Maybe you, Abaya, you can write a new shtar for us. Right? We saw in Shabbos stuff that Abaya was a cipher. He used to write stars. So maybe you can write another shtar for me so that even though I'm giving them this shtar, I'll have another shtar. They don't have two. They only, as far as they know, I have one. So they'll take the shtar from me, but I'll have another shtar tucked away somewhere. So in 5 years from now, when I'm going to try to get my field back, I'll have a shtar that I'll be able to get. So they brought the original shtar to Abaya. They asked Abaya to write a new shtar that mirrors the original shtar. They'll give these Arabs their field. They'll give him the shtar, but they won up the Arabs because they have another shtar hidden somewhere. Says the Gemara, Amaluhu, my over the Chui says, I hear, Abaya told them, I understand what you're trying to accomplish, but I can't help you. The Amar Rav Safra in Koisvin Shnei Shtoris Al Soda Achas. You're never allowed to write two shtoris on one piece of property. Dilma Tarif, Ahad Tarif. because you're afraid that you may be tired from the lekuchas twice. Have a katar delay, but they were badgering Abaye. They really wanted it. Abaye couldn't deal with them. Amalei the safris. Abaye told the safris zil ksoiv lehu hu alam chak ve'edav al niyar. The pasul. Abaye told them, you know what? These guys are probably not such big lambanim. Why don't you give them another shtar? But the second shtar you write, let it be a pasul shtar. How do you make a shtar pasul? Write the shtar on the mchak, for example. Write it on an erased piece of paper. So write something on the paper, erase it. On top of that, write the shtar. On the bottom, on the chelik haniyar, on the chelik that smooth, that was never erased, let the Edom sign. A shtar like that is pasul. We had that last week. So we know that that shtar is pasul. They'll think they have a kosher shtar. Really, they have a pasul shtar. Why can't you have two shtaris? We're afraid you may use the shtar and then use it again. That's not a chash, because if they're ever going to try to be tired from the lekuchas with the second shtar, any bezdin will know that the shtar is possible. Because it was hu alam chak ve'edav al niyar. Amalei Rav Acha ben Yumi la'abaya. Rav Acha ben Yumi told Abaya, v'dumi rishumei nikar. Now, Rav Acha misunderstood Abaya, and it's very puzzling why he misunderstood him. He thought what Abaya was telling him was, write the shtar the way they want it to be written, erase it, and then write it again. So he told him, that's a little dangerous. Because it's true, if you write a shtar on a mechak, and the Edom are on a yar, it's possible. But if you can see a little bit of the original ksav, as long as it's Rishumei Nikar, it's going to be kosher. So if you want to write the shtar and then erase it and write it again, what happens if there's a Rishumei Nikar of the original ksav? If there's a Rishumei Nikar of the original ksav, then the shtar is going to be kosher. So you're asking for trouble. We can't have two shtaris. So you're saying it won't be two shtaris. Because the second shtar is going to be possible. Why will it be possible? Because you're going to write, and you're going to erase it, you're going to write it again. That's all good if you'll never be able to identify anything from the original ksav. But if it's Rishum, my nicker from the original ksav, then it'll be a kosher shtar, because you'll have a little bit from the original. Right? V'tanya, nimchak oy netashtesh, and Rishum, my nicker kosher. I'm a lazy. He told him, Miko amino, shtar ma'al. Yeah, I didn't mean write a good shtar, erase it, and then write a good shtar again. Aleph beis ba'al miko amino. I meant just write whatever. Write whatever you want to write, erase it, and then write the shtar. If it's Rishumei Nikar from the original Ksav, it's meaningless because it just says Aleph Beis, doesn't say anything. If the shtar itself, what was written on the Mechak is possible because Hu Alam Chak, Ve'edav Al Niyar, is not a good thing, Memel, this is going to be nowhere. So now let me show you a point out that you see from this Gemara an interesting thing. You would think that a Dayan wouldn't get involved in things like this. A Sofer Abaye is telling someone to write a shtar, Hu Alam Chak, Ve'edav Al Niyar, right? Sounds a little living dangerously here because Hu Alam Chak, Ve'edav Al Niyar is really possible. So why would a Sofer ever do it? But I guess he had no choice. He was dealing with Nudniks. These people just wouldn't go away. Hashtag Nudniks. So he couldn't help himself. So he said, you know what? They want a shtar so badly. That's fine. It's okay. Write a shtar. It's a line puzzle. They think they have a shtar. They'll never be able to be goyver from it. And that was Abaya's way of getting them off his back.